This morning we have a representative from the Gideons, Brother Jeff Brinker. I'm going to invite him to come this morning and share with us a little bit about what the Lord has been doing through the Gideons. And we are excited to support the Gideons. We love their ministry. So Brother Jeff, why don't you come and share with us this morning?
Thank you, Pastor. I hate you. I want nothing to do with you. I can't stand you. You're a bunch of hypocrites. Dan, this was his testimony. He was 13 years old. He wanted nothing to do with the church. The only thing he wanted was himself, his buddies, his gangs. He started smoking. He started drinking. He would turn to pot, in and out of jail in high school. He got caught many a times. He didn't have much of a life other than to start serving the devil. In high school, he was serving the devil, satanic worshiping. He was sacrificing animals. He was doing everything in his power to get as close as he can to that presence because he was having what he thought was freedom. And as time went on, he got a little older, got out of jail a couple times, and then one day he was doing crystal meth. He was doing heroin. Long story short, he got his good friends into crystal meth as well. And one day he finally got caught with some big-time drugs, and he was going to get put away for a very, very long time. Well, this time, when he went into prison, he realized, I got to do something different. He thought he was where he needed to be. He thought he was all it. But eventually he was starting to get to the bottom of his barrel. So because he's been in and out of jail a number of times, he knew that there was a library. He knew there was a Bible there. So he went to the library and got out a Bible. And he started reading it. And it's interesting what God can do through his word, right? You know, what's really awesome is he knew that he had to go somewhere different than his buddies, his drugs, going to the Satan worshiping things. And I'll tell you what, he was selling out. Problem was, he was selling out to the wrong thing. So he started reading in Psalms 51. And it says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to your multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. That you found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the inward hidden parts you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And this really ministered to him. In chapter or verse 7, it really ministered to him more because, you know, that was a scripture that his satanic group was praying over. He had no idea that those words were coming from the Bible. You see, Satan was binding him this whole entire time into his 20s, and he had no idea that he was even bound. And then he started reading the true word, the true scriptures, and the power of God. Isn't this a sharper than any two-edged sword? Amen. You know, and he got down on his knees, and he decided, I'm going to make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. And he cried out to God. And God cleansed him, and God purified him. You see, Satan wants to bind every single person in the United States and the world. His job in John 10:10, he's a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I was a wrestler. I always wanted to know who my enemy is. You know, I'd always try to find his weakness. Why? Because I wanted to win. You know what I mean? I don't like to lose. And Jesus, however, in that second part, I came that they might have life and have it abundant. And that might be full and meaningful. You see, Jesus has a plan for everybody in Williamsport. He has a plan for everybody in my hometown called Kenton County. He has a plan for all 7.5 billion people on his planet, and he wants them set free. And the only way he's going to set them free is by his power. It's called the Word of God. It's called the Spirit of God. It's called the blood of Jesus. He's already paid the penalty. But you know what? There's a lot of people on this planet that doesn't know Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. I went to church all my life, but I never received him as my Savior and Lord until September 7th, 1991. And that day, the light bulb hit in me. Everybody in this planet has to know the Lord. If not, they're going to hell. And I thank the Lord he saved me. And he can do work in Williamsport, and he's doing work in people around the world. You see, the Gideons, we're in 200 countries now. All it is local churches that men and women decide to say, hey, we're going to come together and we're going to start handing out the word of God. We've got 110 different translations now, and we also have now an app, thanks to people like you. Thanks to people like my local church that supports what? Missions. Because if it wasn't for you, Dan would never have that scripture in that prison, because the hotel Bibles that we go out and we collect, that we hand out, you know, when you go in a hotel and you put it in the drawer and you look in there, there's a Bible. Well, we also go in every year to the hotels here locally and check to see if somebody stole one. Praise God, they took those scriptures, all right? they took it, all right? And we'll replace it, or if some are damaged, we'll replace them. And then the damaged ones, they go to where? They go to the prisons. We don't throw anything away. It's all for a what? Purpose. You see, Dave, he worked for DuPont. He was a really rich dude. He was making six figures. He thought he had it all figured out. He was a science guy. He wanted nothing to do with God. He was married. He had two lovely girls. These two girls didn't go to church either. They knew nothing. But the one had a friend that went to a church camp and said, hey, would you like to come along? She said, sure, I'd love to go to church camp. So, Dad, can I go? Mom, can I go? Sure, but I want nothing to do with this. They go to church. The one goes to church camp. She gets radically saved as a 13-year-old. She comes back. Hey, let's go to church. No, I'm not going to church. The following year, the younger sister says, hey, I want to go to church camp too. Great, but I don't want anything to do with God. She goes to church camp. She gets saved. So now he's got two daughters in the house praying that they're saved, and he still wants nothing to do with God. Why? Because he's all about what? Money, himself, and everything else. Who's tricking him? It's Satan. He thinks he's what? Free, but he's what? Bound. Well, as time goes on, he thinks he's still free, but his marriage is starting to go. It's not going where he wants to go. His life, his job is now going. His world's blowing up in his face. He doesn't know where to go. So what's he decide to do? Well, he says, I'm going to take the chicken way out. I'm going to go to a hotel and end my life. You'd be amazed at how many testimonies we hear with the Gideon ministry of people going to a hotel to end their life. I just don't understand that. But who's binding them? Satan. They think they're free. They're not free. Okay? So he goes to this hotel and he reaches in this drawer. What's he find? He finds a hotel Bible. He starts reading it. He stays 2 days in this hotel reading the scripture. Instead of committing suicide, he gives his life to the Lord. Goes back to his family, makes things right with his wife, and now his one son is a minister. It's all God. And it's all because of people like you. They help support us, our ministry, so we can do what we do. You say, Jeff, who in the world are you? I'm a Christian from Lock Haven, Pennsylvania. That's all I am. I'm a school teacher, and that's all I am. I'm just a guy who loves the Lord. I'm nobody special, all right? And you guys can all do the same here locally. You can go out and spread the gospel to your neighbors, just like wherever you're at, the grocery store or whatever. Or you could join us. You could be a Gideon like me. And you're like, well, Jeff, I can't go around the world. Either do I. Why? Because I teach. They go off to during a time of when I'm in school. And we know all about the stuff that's taking place down in Florida and stuff like that. Do you realize we cannot get into schools anymore? Here in the States? We got to stay on the sidewalk, and there are sometimes sidewalks that we get kicked off of because it's too close to school properties. Well, what's exciting is we get into schools all around the world. All right? We've given out 2 billion scriptures now within the last 100 years. If you put your hand on your heart, go ahead. You should feel a heartbeat, right? I'm a health teacher. All right? You should be beating around 60, 70 beats a minute, you know? So when your hand's on your heart, every time there's a beat, 2 scriptures have been given out. So every time your heartbeat, 2 scriptures have been given out by the ministry. I can't give out scriptures here in Clinton County, in my Keystone Central School District. I can't do that. But what's exciting is we'll go to blitzes. Men all around the world will come in. Colombia, to all of Africa, all around the world, and we'll get out these blitzes. We'll give out 100,000, 200,000, 300,000 scriptures in 10 days. Mm-hmm. You know where we get into? Schools. We get into not just colleges, high schools, all the way down to fifth grade. And we'll hand out scriptures just like this. Can't get in Pennsylvania, but we can do it in Kenya. We can do it in Chad. We can do it all of the world. And you know what? There's this one school teacher. We were in Kenya, and the guys were lost. It was like their last stop. They couldn't find this one school. And thank God that the guys asked for directions. I mean, GPS is awesome, right? Turn left here, turn left here. There's no left. It's just a field, you know. But these guys asked directions and said, hey, we're looking for this school. Could you help us out? And the guy said, hey, no problem. It's right down here on the left. It's up on the hill. So they get down, they stop, and they take these boxes out of these huge boxes of Bibles, just like these, and they start carrying up the hill. As they're going up the hill, the schoolmaster is running down the hill. Praise God, praise God. I've been praying for years for these Bibles. My students are going to use these as curriculum. Amen. So these Bibles aren't just Bibles where, hey, we're just going to give them out and read. They become curriculum. They go back to their families, and the families start reading them, and the whole community started getting changed, all because of people like you. You say, Jeff, what does it cost to make a Bible? $1.20. Anybody ever buy a soda from a vending machine? Don't. Soda's bad for you. It's got so much sugar. Stop. Okay? But the fruit juices, the waters, that's good. Get that stuff. But $1.25, you'll spend for a drink, right? $1.20. That's all it takes for one of these little Bibles to change a life, to bring people to know the Lord. There are millions of people that are longing, desiring for these scriptures. Do you know we have a deficit in our ministry that people have asked for over a million of these, and we don't have the funds to get the Bibles out? You know, we're doing well, but we still need a continuation of this. And 100% of whatever is given, it goes right to the ministry. You know, and that's exciting. You say, Jeff, what else can we do other than that? Can you please pray for us? Here locally, the camp does very well. They get out to Penn College here as well. Here, Mike, in Lock Haven, we're going to do the Lock Haven University Blitz. We get to go to the boys' camp up in Renova. You're like, say, what's the boys' camp? These are the bad dudes in your school that get sent by the court to go to a Mennonite organization. And we get to share his gospel with 40 kids every year and hand out the scriptures. It's my highlight. We're going to be doing that here in April. So our My Blitz is in April to the Lock Haven University. Those are some local things that we do. So we're not just all around the world. We're also local. Exciting. We get into hospitals and, as Pastor mentioned, the prisons and things like that. So it's exciting what we can do there. Also, I saw the Gideon card rack on the back over there. Sometimes you don't know exactly what you want to get somebody for a present when everybody has everything. You know what I mean? If somebody has a prayer need or thinking of them, you can give a card and a scripture. And all those proceeds go right to Bibles as well. And I saw the insert there as well. And I really just really appreciate the time that Pastor, you allowed us to come in and share, because this is one of my highlights. I could be doing this every week. I get to brag on God. You know what I mean? So if you ever want, you can join us. Brag to God or your neighbors what God's doing in your life, because the best testimony is your testimony, how you got saved. How did it happen? Well, let me tell you. And then people will be amazed what God's doing in and through you. And amen. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and share what God's doing. God bless. Amen. Thanks,
Pastor. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Careful with your step here.
All right. Praise God. Praise God. The Lord's doing things, and we're glad to be a part of it. It's all because of God's word and how powerful it is. And one thing I like about the Gideons is they like to talk about the Bible. They love to tell the story. We're going to sing that song. Was that a good segue? All right, number 431, 431. Find your way there in your hymnal. And if you're able, I'll invite you to stand with me as we sing it. Number 431. 431, I Love to Tell the Story. Number 431.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my life. Nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme and glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Verse number 3.
I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to
seated. Great singing this morning. Boy, singing it right out. I can tell that that story is important to you, just the way you sang that song. Well, we are going to turn it right over to Pastor Phil. I think he's going to maybe sing a song or jump right into it in either case.
Junior Church?
Junior Church, yep. We'll dismiss Junior Church. Right after, you want to sing first?
Okay, let me sing first.
Yeah. We're...
sing. I'm going to sing a song in Navajo, one verse anyhow. Just to sing it out, we did tent revivals and church ministry out among the Navajo people. Had a great time, had a great time. Wish I could do it again. That'd be fun to do. A lot of work, but... Sing, tell me the story of Jesus in Navajo here. If I can get it situated. Kiasia, I guess.
Jesus, a beche ho nego, a shij be ho do le. Hane ye see ye. Ya te go today's tea. The inadal a yego da hat hat hobby this chim. God a lahde a yodnini. A na has done because lingo.
Jesus a beisheth hol nego, a shij be hodoleth. Hane ye sealini, ya at echo direci. Hal guided the chin yes nara, ha an ego e bahane. Neha e bohoded nays ta, e also ye ket a sleep. Ad zaigi e bishilne, yeni tisna ya hegi. Dine da bijosago, birane de atene te. Then Jesus e bishil honego, e shiji behold ole. Ane yisi yelini, ya at echo direisi. Gotta quit while I'm ahead. I used to go out and sing for an hour and preach for an hour. In the wintertime, I couldn't use a tent, so I had a school bus rigged out to hold revival meetings in. Had a wood stove in it because it got really cold out there in the winter. Snow be blowing outside. I have a wood stove going inside the school bus, and we'd have a stairway up to the back door because the emergency door you could open from the outside or inside. You know, it made a nice thing. And we'd hold a week of meetings here and a week of meetings there. Had a generator to run the lights. Turn with me to our theme verse here, which is Isaiah chapter 6. And we're looking at God's call. God's calling you. God's calling me. God needs people to go for him. God isn't going to send an angel to preach the gospel. And he says in verse 8 here of Isaiah 6, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me." Then he told him about all the problems he was going to have. If you get into the ministry, you're going to have problems. If you get into church ministry, you're going to have problems. The hardest thing about being a missionary is getting along with the other missionaries. That's the way it is. But, you know, you minister to the other missionaries as well as to the people. And once you realize that, then you can start to get a perspective that helps you calm down and realize not everybody has to help me. You know, they have their own area of ministry. Maybe I can help them. And I had to learn that the hard way. But then we learn a lot of things the hard way, I guess. But here in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah, around 740 BC is what they figure, which is how many years ago? Let me see, this is 2000. I have to work on my math. Remember, there's no 0 BC. Or AD, so it goes from 1 BC to 1 AD. Anyhow, you figure that out. And it's a long time ago, but this still applies to us, this scripture. And God purged his sin. It says that in verse 7, "Thine iniquity is taken away, thy sin is purged." You get saved, and God equips you, and he calls you, and he sends you out. You know, Samuel was called. If you turn to 1 Samuel 3:10, and God has been calling people for a long time, you know. God knows how to call people, and he prepared Samuel from the womb, it seems. But the day came when he spoke to him, and in 1 Samuel 3:10, we have God calling for Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called?" And he did that. several times, and Eli figured out that, wait, it's not me calling, it's God calling Samuel. And in verse 10, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. He told him what Eli told him to say. And God said to Samuel, and he went on, and Samuel served the Lord till the day he died. He called him at an early age. God calls children. He speaks to them. It's my privilege to help with junior church and to live with a junior church teacher. It's just a great thing. And God speaks to those kids. And they say, that's my phone going off. We do rental property for a living. Some of our tenants don't realize that we go to church on Sunday. I don't know why they don't figure that out, but anyhow. And they ought to be in church, you know, is what they ought to be. Why they're calling me now, I can't. But where was I? I live with a junior church teacher. God loves his junior church teachers. And the kids say, can I help? Can I hold the verse? Can I hold the song? Can I stand up and lead this song? Can I do this? You know, God's training them and equipping them. Christine used to get her little friends from up the alley, and they go down in the room downstairs, and they play Sunday school, and they, you know, and they play junior church, and you'd have her little friends down there, and it'd just be a great thing. Let the kids play at church, because someday they won't be playing; they'll be doing it. They'll be doing it, and that's the way it is. God speaks to kids. Maybe the Lord spoke to you when you were a child. I don't know. I got saved when I was that many. That's four, if I can count. One, two, three, four. Okay, down in Houston, Texas. And that was before it flooded down there. And so I got saved there in a vacation Bible school. I was almost five, but I wasn't five yet. It was in August. I can still picture it in my mind's eye. God speaks to children. Look in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 20. God calls grown men and grown women, but here he's calling his disciples, and he says, come, follow me. This is Mark chapter 1, the action gospel. Things move right along in Mark, and so it's not chapter 4, it's chapter 1 here. Picks it right up, and if you look at verse 16. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew his brother casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. He called them, they dropped their nets, and they left. You know, the call of Jesus may find you, the call of the Lord may find you in the middle of something, and you have a choice to make. What shall I do? Which way shall I go? And it's a life-changing decision. It'll take you places that you never knew you would ever get to. You know, just it's fascinating talking to people. How did you get into the ministry? You know, and when these missionaries come, and you can ask Jeff, you know, how did you get into Gideon's? Or, you know, Grace aren't here, but you know, who's coming? You know, you can ask him, how did you get into this? And they tell you, we used to go up to New Tribes. They had a Tuesday night meeting, and they'd have people giving their testimonies. And they were grocery store owners. There was a guy from Georgia owned a grocery store, and he got called. And there was an engineer, civil engineer, and he got called. And he looked just like Governor, what was his name? You know, had the round glasses. It's interesting how they got called, at what stage of life. Jim Aspinwall's mother got a call. She went into the training after she was retired. She and her son were in the training at the same time. Interesting thought, you know. But, you know, Lucille Royer got called when she was older. She came to church here for a long time. And then she got married again. And how long was, how old was Snyder? Snyder was 80. Stood right down here. He leaned on the pew when he said, I do. But the interesting thought, you know, but God calls people. And Horace Snyder, am I saying that right? Horace Snyder was up in Tawanda. The Lord called him into the ministry. He was a bread man. And he left his wife up there. She stayed there. She never did go to the mission field. And he and his nine children traveled all the way to California. Am I saying this right? Traveled to California for the training. I forget the name of the camp out there. And they went down to Bolivia. And finally he came home and lived with his wife again. His son Joe, was it, stayed down there or went back as a missionary to Bolivia. But anyhow, his nine children, and then his wife finally died, and he married Lucille. But just interesting where you might get to, what might happen when you say, yes, here am I, send me. And if you turn to Esther chapter 4, the only book that doesn't mention God, doesn't have God's name in the book of Esther. Strange book. But it's a godless world, you know. And the book is about a godless society. And the form of the book kind of represents the message of the book. I'm going to preach a sermon on that sometime, how the forms of the Bible books embody the message of the book. But here, Esther 4 and verse 14, which I thought I had it. Sorry. Esther 4:14. Have to lick my finger and keep my tongue out of here. Okay, I can still see my dad flipping pages with this. Okay, we're 4:14, where it says, and I read, I have Ezra. I cannot find this book to save my neck. 4:14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. And God's speaking to Esther through Mordecai. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So if you say to the Lord, here am I, send me, you can say, and if I perish, I perish. Well, you might. Every Christmas I sing a song written by Bob Yates. Every Christmas I sing that song. He went out. After the training, he went out to New Guinea. He died, got a heart infection and died. I don't know if he lasted a year, but people do die. And I was reading about mission work down to Tierra del Fuego. Is that down at the southern tip of South America? And the Fuegians down there, the Yagis, killed the first two teams of missionaries that went to him. They all died. And they found the man's diary. The one man had written a diary. They found his diary, finally. And, you know, and they buried what was left of the bodies or whatever. But they lived in a cave and died there. And they took the diary back to England. It became a bestseller. And people gave their lives to mission work. And finally, the whole tribe converted down there. Just amazing, you know. Only the book was left, what the guy had written. Only the book. Just something. But if I perish, I perish. Some do perish. Is it worth it? You know, it is. If you perish, it'll still be worth it. But Esther did not perish. God spared Esther's life, and she was a means of salvation for the nation. Fantastic. Hey, look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. And if I can find it, I'll read it. 1 Samuel chapter 17, which you might recognize as the story of David and Goliath. There is a need of a champion, a need. And David saw the need because Goliath would come out and challenge them. He'd defy the armies of the living God, as it says in verse 26. But here we have in verse 32, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." He said, "I'll go. It's me." He tried on Saul's armor. It didn't work for him. But God used what David knew and what he had. He had a sling, and he knew how to use it, and he was agile, and he thought, if I miss, he took 5 stones. If I miss the first one, I can run away from him and load up again and do another one. It doesn't take long to load his sling. And he had 5 of them. He got 5 chances. Well, the first one was all he needed. God used what he had and what he knew how to do. If the Lord calls you, it's not to a totally different set of talents and gifts. God's going to use what you have and what you are. God has prepared you for a purpose. And if you say, "Here am I, send me," God can use you just like you are. God used Timothy, used Elisha. I have a whole list of ones here, you know. And Jeremiah 1:7, if you want to see what Jeremiah said. Just an interesting thing to see what people say when God calls them. "But the Lord said unto me, Say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces." And he had a lot of trouble, but he went. Jeremiah went, and I'm glad he did. And he wrote it down, and Baruch, the son of Neriah, was his amanuensis, and wrote it down. Moses had some complaints, but God had prepared him. He could talk to Pharaoh. God sent him to Pharaoh. He had grown up in the royal household. He wasn't intimidated at all. He knew his way around. He knew how to talk to the people. Just an interesting thing. God chose Paul, told him where he was going to send him. And in Ezekiel 2:3, if you have your Bible there, Ezekiel 2:3, looking at God's call, we have young people in our church here. Nice group of young people, children, young people. It's good if we can say to them, listen for God's voice. God will speak to you. And put yourself in the way so God can lead you. And go to a Christian school, a Christian college, go to a Christian camp where you can make decisions. People make decisions when they're away from home, it seems. Kids do. And camp is a good place for that. You know, they can start helping out. And in junior church, they can help out. In VBS, I used to help Mrs. Knittle in VBS, you know. And it's just a great way to get kids involved. Get them involved in camp ministry, music ministry, all kinds of things. And he said unto me, Ezekiel 2:3, "A son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day." So he was sending him. And Ezekiel went and did what God said. His wife died. God said, don't weep for your wife. And so he just lay there. He was an example, an object lesson in how he lived and how he sat and lay on one side. He was an object lesson. And maybe God's calling us to be object lessons, role models, we'd say, to the young people around us. And so there are opportunities to help. We need a strong Gideon camp here in Lycoming County. Pray for that. Maybe you'd want to be a Gideon. Jeff can help you to know how to do that. You know, there are ministries in nursing homes, and there are opportunities. They'll let you preach in there. And there's a ministry at the jail and the prison. Be a chaplain. You know, there's a WANA here for the kids. There's a CEF. I got started there as a CEF summer missionary. So did Wilda. So did these kids over here. And so that there's Bible study fellowship, and they need the discussion group leaders. They still need some leaders in the BSF. Yeah, I guess, yeah. See that head nodding back there. You know, help out with revivals, pass out tracts, do something. There are all kinds of things you can do if you'll say, "Here am I, send me." Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the call. We thank you for the opportunity. Help us to be those people whom you could use as tools in your hand to get people saved, to further the ministry of the gospel, to be role models to our church kids, to be those that would be useful in your service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Pastor Phil. If you want to take your hymnal and turn with me to number 416, would you please? 416, So Send I You. And we'll stand together if you're able, and we'll sing it together. I wonder, maybe the Lord has called you through the scripture that you've heard this morning. And God is in the process of calling people and sending them out. So think of the words as we sing. Number 416, we'll sing verse 1 and verse 5.
So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone.
Verse number 5.
So send I you to hearts and hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you.
Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the great call that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that we would respond to that call, that we would be willing to go as you have sent us. And Lord, we know that there may be difficulties, but we know that there are blessings for sure. And so I pray that as we go and as we follow your leading and your call on our lives, that you would enable us and empower us to reach a world that is lost and dying. Lord, we thank you for the work of the Gideons. We thank you for Bible Mission to Native Americans. We thank you for these that have surrendered their lives to that call that you have given to them. And Lord, may we follow their example. May we also be sent and go where you would have us to go. We pray that you would use us in great ways. And these things we ask in Jesus' name, amen.